Kia ora, welcome to Faith Matters. It's Friday. I guess you're in Whangarei. If you are, welcome to our beautiful town. And we've got a few things happening on Faith Matters today. We've got marriage matters starting soon with Umberto and Jax. And we have me and Denise in the studio. We've got some things to unpack in her blog. It's going to be a good one, so keep tuning in.
I'm not gonna lie, most of the pandemic I thought I might die. 6 feet deep with my ego and pride. What a time to be alive. Haven't even made it to 35. Now I feel like I might be in my prime. Sunny days come when you get through the night. What a time to be alive.
Tell them I'm a born-again Christian. you're a four. I just follow you, I've been going up more. I've been winning all these battles, now one thing I know for sure. We serve a good Lord. I see the light, so I live my life different. I left the old me swimming with the fishes. My demons looking for me, said I went missing. Somebody tell them I'm a born again Christian.
Hey, welcome to Faith Matters. We have Marie and Denise in the studio. Hey,
Kia
Denise.
Kia ora.
Man, I feel like we haven't been together for a while, since the beginning of the year, I think. I know you've been in here, but like we haven't actually sat, just you and me.
Not very much.
No, but we're going to, at the end of the show today, after Jackson Umberto, we are going to unpack your new blog that is on the hot off the press. Hot off the press, yeah. And I'm going to look forward to that one. What's it called, Denise?
Hidden Gems in a Game.
Oh,
you were talking about board games a few weeks ago, you guys, and saying that they're old school. Well, no, it was fun game.
And I really want to know what that game is. And if you want to know what we're talking about, tune in at about, three quarters of an hour. Me and Denise will be on. But soon we've got Jackson Umberto with Marriage Matters.
So many sunsets sinking outside your door. Can only make so many memories till you can't make no more. Missing out on all that living, something that you can't afford. If you want to look back on a life you wouldn't take a million for. When's the last time you found 5 minutes crumpled up on the street? Or poured a little cash in the hourglass, bought you back 1 week. You can sack up the green down at the bank, but let me tell you, friend, you ain't as rich as you think. When you're down to your last heartbeat, time makes money look cheap. Says he needs to talk, I'm listening. When my kid grabs a pole, says he wants to go, we're fishing. And if she wants to dance, we're dancing. I ain't gonna miss a chance, man, 'cause you never know when your last chance might be. When's the last time you found 5 minutes crumpled up on the street? Or poured a little cash in the hourglass, bought you back 1 week. You can stack up the grain down at the bank, but let me tell you, friend, you ain't as rich as you think. When you're down to your last heartbeat, time makes money look cheap. Time makes money look cheap. Time makes money. Time makes money look cheap. Get some wind in your sails and some beach sand on your feet. When's the last time you found 5 minutes crumpled up on the street? Poured a little cash in the hourglass, brought you back 1 week. You can stack up the grain down at the bank, but let me tell you, friend, you ain't as rich as you think. When you're down to your last heartbeat, time makes money look cheap. Money look cheap. Yeah, time makes money look cheap. Yes, it does. Yeah, time makes money look cheap. Time makes money look cheap.
Oh, Okay, so we have Umberto and Jax in the studio, and they do a segment on the show called Marriage Matters. Yeah. And last week, last fortnight, I should say, we talked about intentionality in relationship and how we do team and how we work together. And we're going to unpack some more of that in this one. Jax and Umberto are going to look at the four laws of love, and we're not going to unpack them all today, but we are going to look at the first maybe one or two. And the first one in the four laws of love is, you've got a heading here, priority. So welcome, Jax and Umberto.
Hello, kia ora. Hi.
Kia ora.
Yeah, that's better. We've got you on. I love having these guys on. Marriage is something we definitely need to be talking about, discussing, and there's not a lot of information out there, so I'm hopeful this segment is going to be a real help for a lot of people and giving you some snippets maybe on how to do marriage better or relationship or just being in team. So tell me, the four laws of love. Do you want to talk into that a little bit first, Jax?
Sure. So obviously God designed marriage as one of his first relationships between humans. And I think he doesn't take away, though, the fact that our first priority needs to be him. Because let's be honest, marriage is not the easiest one to do because we've got two different people coming together. And God realized that. And that's why he's got these laws that come in. And it's like anything in life, there's laws, right? And if we don't abide by them, well, then whatever the laws are for are going to fall apart. And it's no different in marriage. And if we have him in our corner helping us along in marriage, which is a priority, then we can do it a not as easy, but we will flourish better in marriage, putting God first.
I think, as he puts it, is that laws are there for us in a number of ways, right? And it applies to Christians or non-Christians, in fact, right? So the law of gravity, if you step off the edge of a building, you're going to fall and break your neck or whatever. And that's whether you believe in God or don't. That's whether you're a Christian or not. And the four laws of love have a similar aspect, right? If you follow the principles, if you follow the laws, then they engineer and they lead to a successful outcome, right?
Nice.
So, yeah, like the law of gravity, they have an application, and that application applies to all of us.
Mm. Right. Okay, so the first heading we've got here is priority. So I'm guessing you guys have got a lot to unpack around this one, so off you go. I'll just open the suitcase.
Wow. Yeah. We've done marriage three ways, where we were not Christians when we got married. And for the first 5 years, it was amazing. We really, really had a good marriage. We were best friends. We were besotted with each other, to be honest with you. But without God, how long did that last? 5 years. And then I became a Christian, and boy, then the challenges started, to be honest with you.
I can imagine.
And then 19 years after I became a Christian, Umberto became a Christian. And if we compare those three scenarios of our relationship, there's no comparison having God in the mix, right?
Yeah. I think that's the thing, right? I mean, we're built created. It's a team sport, right? We're built to be a team. And we either win or lose together. And that's the one thing, right? But, you know, you leave your father and mother. You cleave to your wife. Cleave to your husband, right? We become one flesh. And that, I think all that kind of connotates an idea that we're in this together and we're one unit. And that means that we have to prioritize each other. Mm. And when things start coming in the way of that, when things like, you know, children, career, hobbies,
sport,
etc., you know, start interfering and start making us kind of strangers in our own home, that's where the issues arise, right? Mm. That's when we feel that we're not really in this, you're not really interested in me, you don't listen to me anymore, I don't hear you, and all those things, right? Mm. So priority means putting each other, aside from obviously as a Christian, we talk about putting God first, right? But certainly in marriage, it's about putting your spouse as a priority, right? A priority
before anything else.
To those other things, right? Yes, we're going to have children. Yes, you've got a career. Yes, you've got this. But if any of those take over the priority aspect of your wife or husband, then they start interfering. They start taking priority. They start taking more of your focus and more of your attention that should be dedicated elsewhere. And that elsewhere is obviously your spouse. And once your spouse starts feeling that you're no longer engaged, that they're no longer a priority, they start feeling left out. They start feeling
jealous.
Jealous.
And we say jealousy is bad, but it actually, in a godly sense, it's actually not. Because what jealousy means is I'm giving my attention to something else that actually belongs to Umberto. Mm. And the minute that happens, we've got an issue.
Mm, and I was thinking about what Umberto said about, you know, we have children and we get busy and we have work and we some of us really enjoy our work, and that can become, you know, what we hold in high regard in our lives, and other things can take the place of our partner when we're married. And we don't even notice it. Just seems to creep in because we're with somebody and we think, oh, you know, everything's good.
Yep.
Life's good.
Yep.
But if we're not checking in, if we're not making connection in some way, then these other things will become the priority.
Yeah, sure.
And a lot of guys do the work part because they're actually trying to provide for their family. So they say, but I'm doing it for them, whereas them, i.e. the wife or the children, we want dad home or we want our husband home.
And sometimes we feel challenged by that, right? Sometimes we get taken up by our hobby, by our sport. You know, I love badminton. I don't, but I'm saying, I love badminton. I don't look like the kind of guy who loves badminton.
Like
And I love being with my friends, and we go out for drinks afterwards and all the rest of it. And you know what? I actually start enjoying it because it gets me away from the mess that's at home and the kids screaming and the issues with schoolwork, whatever. It's like, oh, man, I just don't need that. I'm talking as a guy, right? And so I just don't need that. So what I start doing, I start gravitating and moving towards that, right? And my friends, we have a good fun. We have good laughs. We have a good time. And so I start spending more and more time with them. And what happens at home? The missus starts feeling a bit more left out. She doesn't feel as if she's actually engaged with you anymore. She doesn't feel like you're a team anymore. And so when you come home, more issues arise. Because now you're coming to home to a party that's actually not feeling like they're part of the party with you, right? They're not feeling engaged. They're not feeling the love. And so the tensions rise. The tensions rise. So what do? I want to spend more time away.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
And so it's a kind of self-fulfilling issue, right?
It is. It doesn't mean you can't have hobbies.
Right?
It
doesn't mean you can't go and have time with your friends, because we all need a balance of time with our families, with each other. And friends. I mean, friends are still important, but not where they take over our time.
So how do you, as a person, as an individual in a marriage, and you've started to realize, actually, I'm enjoying my time away more than I am at home, even realizing that can be quite stark for yourself. Many of us don't want to acknowledge that.
Yeah, we're totally.
We're just going, oh, I'm doing great. You know, I'm happy.
I'm happy. Yeah. Hey. I don't know about you, but I'm okay.
But I also understand the tensions from a female perspective. If you're the one at home, kind of managing and keeping the ship afloat type thing, you know, that, you know, it's not going to be a good response when the partner comes home all happy and full of what they've been done, and you're like,
great. Okay. I've just been keeping the fort.
Yeah, I'm not so happy.
And I think that's where communication comes in. We have to be able to communicate to each other, and we need to remember that we are not a single person anymore. We have responsibilities, and we have responsibilities together and to each other. So communication, as always, is key.
And I think that's one we're going to go into this next song with. Communication is key. That's one we kind of need to sit on a bit, I think.
Take a breath, the camera's off. You don't have to hide the fact we're all messed up. I know you think one more bad move, God will finally wash his hands of you. Ooh, hold on. There couldn't be more wrong. There's no such thing as too far gone with God. Nothing you can do to earn your spot. Nowhere you can go.
unravel lies and twist the truth. He's working hard to make you think it's all on you. So you play the part till you're exhausted. And when you fall, he's there to tell you that you lost it. I couldn't be more wrong. There's no such thing as too far gone with God. Nothing you can do to earn your spot. Nowhere you can go where he is not. No, it all sounds unbelievable, but believe that simple. Oh, there's no such thing as too far gone with God. Nothing you can do to earn your spot.
Yeah, that was Leanna Crawford, Simple. And sometimes things aren't that simple. Sometimes we actually have to, you know, do something to make things better, and that can be an issue for some of us because we don't want to do anything. Sometimes we get into marriage and we think, oh, it's all going to be great after this, and it's not. You know, we have to work on things. And hence I have Umberto and Jax in the studio once a fortnight to help us with this stuff, because there is no well, there's many books out there, but I don't think there's any one answer to the problems we have. And sometimes just talking about things, you know, you might find the answer somewhere in what we say. So we've been talking about intentionality and the four laws of love, and we're just sitting on priority at the moment. And so we'll pick it up. I loved what you said here. Healthier, more focused marriage. Yeah. You know, when we talk about our marriage and when we focus on it, it becomes healthier. If we don't focus on it, then it's left to its own devices, and that can get quite messy if we do that, because then our priorities become, you know, top, what we want to do. And if things feel good at home and we start, oh my gosh, they're holding hands here. Now I've lost my train of thought. It's gone. That's it. That's lovely. I'll get a photo of that, will you? That's going on my thing. If you look at it, if you want to check out this, what we're talking about, you know, you can tune in. These are recorded sessions, so you can look on Faith Matters on Facebook, or you can look under the Raglan Radio itself, and my blogs, my programs are all there, or our programs, I should say. And
are you going to start doing a blog, Marie?
No, I'm not, Denise.
She's been prophetic.
No, I'm leaving that to you, and we're getting into that one real soon, but I'm looking forward to it. But let's look at these priorities first, the four laws of love. Where did we get to, Umberto?
Yeah, well, I think... Yeah, in terms of priority, I was just looking through my notes here, and I think the one thing that priority dictates is that if something is your priority, it you have to prove that in real terms, right? Not just words, right? And priority means that you're going to sacrifice for it, right? What are you going to give up for me? What are you going to give up for your priority, right? Secondly, you're going to give it time. It's going to have your focus in terms of time, and not shared with other things or other gadgets or other hobbies, right? I'm your focus.
You're my focus.
You're my focus, yeah. And then priority.
You guys are going to out for a date after this, aren't you? Sorry.
Priority means you give it energy. You give it energy. You invest in it, right? You do something with it. You give it time and energy. And secondly, when something's not your priority and it's in a positive way, then it has to have a good attitude, right? I'm doing this with a good attitude, with an outset mindset that says, I want to do this in a healthy way for you because I want to. Because I know it's going to be good for us.
Can I ask you a question as a male? That's not easy to do. I mean, it's one thing to say we want to do this, but I guess there's a change of attitude in us individually. It's not a natural way for us to be submissive to another person.
No, because naturally, as we're selfish, right? As human beings, we naturally have a selfish drive to us, right? What's in it for me? What do I get out of it, right? If I'm going to give this my time or my sacrifice, what am I going to get back? Mm. Well, obviously, in your marriage, you're going to get back a healthy marriage and a lovely partner, spouse, who's going to do life with you, right? So that's where it comes from. So the challenge, I think, to a guy is to keep that mindset, that focus, right? We're good at focusing on things, on things that deliver us a pleasure.
A return,
right? Mm. And so I think once we start putting time and energy into our spouse and we start seeing how that builds up and the return we get from that, that builds on itself. Because when I do something positive for Jackie, right, and she then feels good about life and feels good about us and the marriage, she then feels good about doing something back to me.
Yeah.
And that then feeds on itself. We start, it just adds up.
Think about it, though. I mean, I was thinking about this the other day. Where does your marriage start? It starts at an altar.
Mm.
And what do you do at an altar? You sacrifice. So you're both standing at an altar, pledging yourself to one another that I'm here for you through thick and thin. And I'm saying I'm giving all of me to you. And you're saying the same thing back. And I think we need to go back to that day and think about it. What does that actually mean? And sacrifice means I give up for me, for you.
Not an easy thing, eh? But no. Marriage, and you know, when we're at that altar too, we're in the honeymoon stage, and we are at that place where we would give anything for you. And what do you want to say, Denise? You got
something? I'm just thinking of quite a long time ago. You had Sherilyn, and she was talking about marriage and family, and I can remember her saying that one commitment they made early on in their marriage was that when they were out and about, they would speak positively of each other. And actually, I think when you're thinking, okay, what's my attitude like? I mean, you kind of know what your attitude's like, really. But if you're not sure, start listening to what your words are like when you speak about your spouse to other people. Not necessarily to their face, but when they're not in the room, what's coming out? Because I think it's really easy to go, and
then you take it back home with you, hey?
Yeah, and that's your attitude, and that's a way of it, one of the ways that it can come out.
Yeah, so I guess a priority could be checking in on yourself and how you are speaking about your marriage and your partner.
Yeah.
That could be a priority.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Yeah. I think the thing is, what your spouse needs to hear from you, and hear isn't necessarily hear as in ears, but hear, see from you, or get the vibe from you, is that you'll do whatever it takes. I'll do whatever it takes to make us right. I'll do whatever it takes to make the changes that'll make our marriage healthy, right? And that sounds like a big ask, right? But you know what? We're happy to go and go into the army and fight for our country and maybe die for our country, right? For instance, right? Yeah. How much more should we be wanting to do that for our marriage, for our spouse, for our loved one, right? This is our loved one. I mean, our country, we love our country, obviously, as well. But this is just so much more closer to home, right?
Yeah.
This is my family, my wife.
Yeah.
I should be wanting to give up my life for her.
Yeah.
I should be happy to give up my life for her if it came to that.
So
if that's my attitude towards her and towards our marriage, well, then I should be happy to do anything else. Mm. Which, I mean, that's, we're talking about giving up our life, right? So it's a lot easier not to give up our life and do something else. In terms of a change of attitude, a change of the way we do things, giving up, as I said, our priority of a hobby, of a pastime. You know, you hear about golf widows, right? We play so much golf that, and the wife spends the time at home.
Alone.
Alone. And you know, those kind of things. You know, I mean, Jimmy Evans is the one who says, you know, he gave up his golf clubs, he hung them up, and for a season he stopped because he realized that he was putting his priority and his attention in the wrong place.
Wow.
Yeah. And that's true, right? I mean, once something takes our attention to the extent that it actually reduces it to that level from our spouse and our family, that's not healthy. We need to do something about it. We have to.
And I guess it's about maturity as well. Mm. Like, do we want to take that level of maturity on? Because it is about putting somebody else first and not our own needs or wants or desires. It's harder to do than it is to say.
Yeah. And I'm just having fun.
Yeah, like, this is what makes me
I'm happy. It makes me happy.
I'm happy doing this.
That's not good enough.
Oh, you're hard.
No, but if you think about it, look at us, for example. When we do work on it, how much more do you actually gain? You gain more than what you gain on your own. You go to your friends, but who's going to be there at the end of the day, at the end of your life? If you do this right, your spouse is going to be there.
Yeah.
You know, and often we think God is too hard and his ways are too hard. But when we actually knuckle down and take the responsibility we individually need to take, we actually gain way more than if we don't.
Yeah.
In a good way.
Yeah. I agree. Like, you know, when we go through life, there's times when we think, oh, why did I ever do this? But the further you get on, then you start to realize that this person in your life knows you the most. You know, they are the biggest person in your life. And once you start to share your life with someone like that, it becomes very precious. Yeah.
And they care for you. They care for you, right? Your golf buddies, they'll care for you maybe to a degree. But, you know, if it gets too tough, they've got their own families to look after. They've got their own lives to look after. They're gone, right? This person cares for you and will give you their life, right? And they shouldn't be getting our leftovers and our second-hand time.
Nice.
They should be getting our full time.
Yeah, I like that. Shouldn't be getting our leftovers.
No.
Yeah, the scraps that we don't want.
Yeah.
The bits left on the plate, like, ew. I don't like broccoli.
We need to give each other the best.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, we want the bacon and eggs. So, look, this is
and a sausage.
Yeah, sausage. Oh, and a sausage. Okay, man's breakfast. Man's breakfast, not a girl's breakfast. All right. Marriage matters, and it does in this time and age. You know, it's very expensive to get married out there. If we're going to put that much money into it, we really want a good return, don't we? But honestly, it doesn't have to be expensive to get married. Don't listen to that. That's not what it's all about. What it's all about is doing life together in the hard yards, I think, family, children. And being there for each other, because iron sharpens iron. And if you don't know what that means, it's in the Bible. It's a biblical term. For me, that's about, you know, we come in with our rough edges, but the more that we work together, those rough edges start to come away, and we actually become this beautiful working mechanism where we are actually working well.
We oil each other.
Yeah, we do. And it's a wonderful thing. Marriage is the and children are the best things we will do in this life in many ways, because it's where we leave our legacy.
And it says you only see that in the next generation.
You know, careful.
So far we're doing okay. We got it.
We are responsible. We are responsible, eh? Like, we can think we're not, but we are responsible. Those beautiful little babies that we have. So any other parting wisdom, because we only got to priority, and I think that's where we need to sit today. And look, we've got heaps to unpack. So if you're wanting to know about marriage, love, and everything in between, and Jackson and Umberto are on once a fortnight here on Faith Matters, you can tune into the podcast to catch up if you've missed out. But any wisdom before we go?
It's worth the effort.
Yeah, it's worth the effort for sure. And I think it's priority is the number one law of marriage is priority, full stop. Yeah, the other three laws we'll talk about in the next episode and whatever, but priority is it tops them all, right? You are my first and sole focus. And the other stuff that'll come up and that we'll work through that, but you are my focus.
Yeah, I think I'd like to just add to that. There was something that I learnt and a course that me and PJ did when we first got married, and that was about couch time.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, it is. We use this in our marriage. It was amazing.
Yeah.
Often when Dad comes home from work, you know, the kids are all over him, and Mum's kind of left in the background till later on. It's not something we intend to do. It just happens. But if we have intentionality about what we're doing and want to put our priority right, then coming home, you know, Dad comes home and has 10, 15 minutes with Mum, having a cup of tea, checking in with their day. The kids are going to bustle around. They're going to want his attention. And Dad can just calmly say, look, yeah, I'm just going to have some time with Mum, and then I'm going to go and have some time with you later. So you guys go off and play, and me and Mum are going to have some time together
first.
Yeah,
it's awesome.
Yeah, and it kind of sets that priority of Mum and Dad are actually heading this family, not the
kids.
And
you're teaching them too.
Yeah.
So the kids can learn that this is really safe. Mum and Dad are a team. They're together on this, and a strong front.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And our kids need to see that.
That's great. Exactly that, right? So where do the kids learn how to do life from us, from you, right? And how Mum and Dad deal with things, and how Mum and Dad deal with issues and arguments.
Yeah.
That's how they learn to deal with it themselves, right? Yeah. And if they see us doing it badly, well then you can't expect much different from them.
Unfortunately, it's going to fold out to the next generation. So it is a priority that we get our priorities right in marriage. And I love the hand-holding, you know. I think you guys are amazing. Love you heaps. And I look forward to having you on in a fortnight.
Thank you.
I used to dream about the future and pray for things I thought I wanted.
High expectations.
Been disappointed with the outcome. Lost 2 hours in the process.
No destination.
Breaking chains that held me down. I've changed so much from then to now. The only way to fill that hole is to give up on my control.
Watched all my plans slip through my hands. I can see them picture perfect. Lord knows I deserved it. But when things fall apart, like a weight on my heart, the world will keep on turning. But I'll never stop learning, learning to let go.
Fire to my freedom. I'm not wasting any moments.
No hesitation.
I found myself in new horizons. Learned to love myself completely. And I feel like the real me. Whoa. Breaking chains that held me down. I've changed so much from then to now. The only way to fill that hole is to give up all my control.
Watched all my plans slip through my hands. I can see them picture perfect. Lord knows I deserve it. But when things fall apart, like a weight on my heart, the world will keep on turning. But I'll never stop learning, learning to let go.
All my plans slip through my hands. I can see them picture perfect. Lord knows I deserved it. But when things fall apart, like a weight on my heart, the world will keep on turning. But I'll never stop learning, learning to let go.
Yeah, amen to that. A prayer and a Bible, Megan Woods, and we have Denise. Kia ora, Denise.
Kia ora.
Kia ora.
I'm still here in the background.
She is. And it is a new year for us on the show, Faith Matters. Denise has just put out her new blog for the year, hot off the press, and the heading of that, Denise. I haven't got it in front of me.
Hidden Gems from a Game.
Yeah. So I've read through this blog, and I'm more interested about what the game was, because now I want to learn it, because it looks really cool. So you might have to read the blog if you want to know anything about the game, but tell me, what is this? Unpack this blog for me a little bit.
I have to tell you, the game's called The Quest for El Dorado. We have a little bit of a thing for El Dorado in our family. We love it. So one of my son's friends bought the game out with him over New Year's, and so we had a go, and I actually just got it for my husband for his birthday last week. So now I'm trying to get him to have a quiet enough evening that we can actually play it together,
because
I
want to
teach him. Anyway, it's a fun game. It's a game where you're collecting cards to move across a board. Basically, the aim of the game is to get to the end, which is where El Dorado is. And I was playing the game. I'd played it once or twice before, and we were sitting down for this particular game, and I decided, okay, you can waste a whole lot of time in this game getting cards at the beginning and getting yourself this amazing hand, but you don't really go anywhere because you use your cards for buying stuff instead of for moving. And so I decided in this particular game, yeah, I needed to buy a couple of cards, but then I was just going to start moving. And so I did that, and I was going ahead and leaps and bounds, and I was probably at about the three-quarter mark when the guy who actually bought the game out, he looked up and went, oh, you're quite far down the board. And so he, rather than buying more cards, he started to move. But now his cards were like big cards. So every move that he made, he was able to like take five or six places on the board. And with his different cards, he did really well, got really close just behind me, and then in his next turn, he basically won the game. But the others also, when he said that, they started to move forward, and they had some better cards than I did, but because I had that head start, I was up near the end. So the order became the guy who had all these amazing cards, then me, who was slow and steady wins the race, and then these other two who kind of had a mixture. And the thing that I really pondered about it was, the guy who won, the thing that he did that none of the rest of us did was he didn't just buy the good cards. He actually trashed his original cards, which was like one move at a time, one square at a time. And so every time he picked up a card now, it was amazing. So he had all these tools in his deck. He didn't know which order they'd come up in. But whatever card he picked up, he had a winner, kind of like he was always going to make good progress with it. And I thought that was quite profound because, you know, if you take the competition out of who actually won, the reality is that within a turn, we all got to El Dorado, we all got to the end, and we all had these different ways of doing it. But there was one strategy that obviously got you there super quick. He dilly-dallied at the beginning and bought and trashed cards. But then he had this amazing toolkit that he was able to just use and go boom, straight to the end of the game. And I thought of that sort of in life. You know, some of us are slow and steady wins the race, and as we grow and develop, we just do a little bit by a little bit. Others of us learn a whole lot of new skills, which is great. So we put in the time and effort, and we might go to like a parenting course or a I don't know what it is, how we're going to improve our relationships with other people. We might read a book, we might, you know, even listening to Marriage Matters today, like that was fantastic. I found that really helpful. So we can gather information, and then there comes a time that we actually have to put it into action. So
yeah. Can't hold the cards, all the cards to ourselves for too long. We've got to use them at some stage, because that's strategy. And it also kind of aligns with Marriage Matters and priority too. Where are your priorities in this game? Well, my priority would be to win.
That's yikes, priority. So when I play right it with there. You, mental note.
And I'd probably be looking at the guy that knows the game really well and following what he's doing and try and do it better. So that's a priority. Yeah. It's okay. So in your blog here, because Denise's blog, the main heading of her blog is Becoming Unoffendable, and everything she writes about or the experiences or the things that she brings into those blogs are all about challenging ourselves to grow and mature and be in a place where there's less stress, less anxiety, a place of becoming unoffendable. And I love her heading because it's becoming unoffendable. We're not ever there. We're always adjusting and moving in that direction, and that gives us a lot of grace in our life, doesn't it? Thank goodness, becoming.
And it means that if I'm having a hard day, I'm not being a hypocrite going, well, I said that I was this.
Yeah.
But it's actually I'm on the journey as well.
Yeah, I've got a great song we're going to play after this. It's kind of about that, because sometimes we do fall flat on our face because we think we know everything, and actually some other expert comes along and knows a heck of a lot more than we do.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, and do we have the maturity or the grace to learn from others, you know, or do we look at them and go, oh, you're a know-it-all, you think you know everything, you know, I don't want to follow you, I'm going to do what I want to do, you know, and in the game each one did what they wanted to do, but tell you the truth, I would have been following that guy that knew the game, Denise. I'd have been like, what's he doing?
Well, now that I've watched them, I'm kind of like, okay, maybe next time.
Yeah. Okay, you've got in here the essence of strategy is choosing what not to do. Ooh, I kind of like that. Because we're often strategy is about what we can do, but strategy is also strategizing is also about what we don't want to do or what not to do.
Yeah.
Okay, you want to unpack that a little bit?
Well, I just thought it was a great quote because you know, that was the difference with the guy who won this game, was that he actually trashed the cards that were his original deck. And so if you think of life, you know, you might have grown up in a family where we were just talking about where do we learn our stuff? Well, we often learn it from our family when we're growing up.
Yeah.
And so if your living environment wasn't great in any regard, like all of us have stuff in our family that's not ideal. You know, some people have amazing families, but there'll still be something there. Mm. And, you know, you can learn different ways of doing things, but if you actually don't choose not to do it the way that it used to be done, then sometimes that's going to pop out and sometimes your new way of doing it's going to pop out. But if you actually go, hey, when you frustrate me, I will not be raising my voice. That's something that happened in my household. And you might struggle to come up with other ways to do it because I'll tell you what, if that's a habit, then that really wants to fire out. And you just sometimes have to shut your mouth and go, maybe say nothing.
Ears get red because they want to shoot out little hot things. Like in the cartoons.
But something like that, like you can have both but then you become a little bit unpredictable. People don't know what they're in for. If they upset you, are you going to get mad or are you going to stay calm?
Eggshell moment.
Yeah, so they don't know. But if you can actually go, hey, I choose not to respond this way anymore, well, then you become dependable because people know what your response is going to be. So then you become a safe person because they know. Like, even, yeah, I mean, you've probably got that with counselling. Like, when people tell you something shocking, you actually choose not to.
Yeah.
Because you can't. You have to be a safe person for people to come to.
Yeah.
And so I find that, I can remember there's somebody in our family who, you know, if you told them something good, they'd be like, and react. But if you told them something bad, it was like, and I was like, just take the information.
Stop
just
with
hold
it
for a second. Because I actually stopped letting this person know anything because I was just over the reaction. It's like, somebody else can tell this person. It's too much.
Yeah.
I just wanted to be able to say, hey, this is going on for me. And it, you know, it wasn't necessarily good or bad for me, but if she perceived it to be good or bad, there was this massive reaction. It's like, oh.
Yeah, yeah. You've got here, you apply a little change each week, slowly, slowly, step by step.
Yeah. So that's the slowly, slowly wins the race kind of concept. So that's how I was playing the game. I was like, okay, I don't have great cards. I have some decent cards, but I'm going to just use what I've got and move forward. And so that's a valid strategy too. You know, if you might be listening, say you might listen to Marriage Matters every fortnight and go, hey, there's one little takeaway. I could work on my attitude this week.
Mm-hmm.
And you just do that. And then in a fortnight's time, you might take one thing they say and you can just work on that. That's what I'm talking about when I talk about one little change at a time.
Yeah, makes sense to me. See, that works for me because yep. I can practice that. I can tease it out and I don't have to let people know what I'm doing. I can yep. practice on my own
yep.
and know my own success rate. I don't need other people to cheer me on going, hey, I saw you did that. Well done.
Yeah.
You know, they're probably not even going to notice the change that I make, but I feel better.
Yes.
Because I'm not getting stressed and yep. I'm not getting anxious and I'm not getting wound up. So exactly. it matters for me
yep.
how I want to perhaps adjust or manage a situation in a more healthy way rather than raising my voice, you know, and stomping my feet or something, you know, or whatever
yeah.
we might do. And it's not always easy. I think at the beginning we're babies in this.
Mm-hmm.
We have to – we've talked about this like strengthening a muscle.
Yeah.
You know, we have to practice slowly, slowly. It's okay. Pick one thing.
Mm.
Pick a priority that you might want to work on in yourself. And maybe that's, you know, if we go back to Marriage Matters, that's intentionality, to be intentional about what I want to work on.
Yeah. And that slowly, slowly thing too. Like you think of a child who's learning to walk. Yeah, they take one wobbly step, maybe two or three, and then they plonk back down on their backside. And, you know, even after they might get to the point where they can walk, like, across a room, and then they go back to crawling for another two or 3 weeks.
Exactly.
And it's just like, but you can do it! And yet they don't. So developmentally, like, if you're, you know, if all of this stuff is new to you and you are easily offended, or if your marriage is in a tricky place, like, we're not necessarily going to get it perfect straight away. And so that just being gentle with ourselves as we learn and as we practice and as we do well some days and as other days we don't, that's actually okay. You haven't failed. It's just get up and have another go, or just sit where you are for now. Like it might be that you're at the stage of, hey, I'm just going back to crawling for a couple of weeks. I'll give it another go soon.
Yeah, that sounds so good. I think we're going to head into a song and we're going to be back real soon and unpack some more of this blog and learn some more things along the way.
Lola, thank you for sunshine, thank you for rain, thank you for joy, thank you for pain. It's a beautiful day, it's a beautiful day. Lola, thank you for sunshine, thank you for rain.
Lord, I thank you for this day. But when questions where to start and where to end. You set in motion time and space, but still you come and you call to me by name. But still you come and you call to me by name.
Indeed he is, and if you don't know what that means, oh well, you might as well just listen to us then, won't you? You might find out.
Maybe we'll talk about it another day.
Another day.
Give some hope there.
Some hope. So we're unpacking Denise's blog here, and what was the name of it, Denise? Oh, it's gone from me again.
Hidden Gems in a Game.
It's a big heading.
I was just thinking, if anybody does want to read it, my website's denise.nz, D-E-N-I-S-E. .nz. I made it as simple as I could.
Yeah, thank goodness for that. We need simplicity. Okay, so I'm going to read a little bit here. It says, if you're a competitor, if you're competitor focused, you have to wait until there is a competitor doing something. Being outcome focused allows you to be more pioneering. I really like that. I like where it says, if you're competitor focused, you have to wait until there is a competitor. Mm-hmm. So that means to me, you know, we're always looking at somebody else and what they're doing and wondering if we can do it better, you know. And often many of us do this, you know, we can align ourselves with somebody who does something really, really well, and then we'll watch them and learn from them. And those of us who want to reach higher places or think that we want to reach higher places, we'll try and do better. You know, we're competitor focused. We want to even make that better than it is now, Denise, which is not a bad thing. But being outcome focused, so competitive competitor focus is all about me. So it's about my needs and my drive and what I want and where I want to be and end up, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. All praise to me. Yay.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. You actually, you said before about you can make changes, little changes, and no one needs to say to you, oh, my gosh, Marie, you just, oh, your attitude today is just amazing. Like, it just flows out of you. Like, you don't necessarily need that, but no. That's what the competitor focus is after. Yeah. They're actually after that recognition externally.
They are. And then it goes on, being outcome focused allows you to be more pioneering and, oh, do I love that word? It feels very nourishing to me because it means that it's new ground that hasn't been touched. And, you know, so there's new experience, a new way that I'm going to learn about, and it's going to develop me. I really, really love that, Denise, I must admit. I've seen competitor-focused people, and, yeah, it's quite gnarly. I find them not the easiest to be around for me because I get lost in it all. It doesn't make sense to me. There's no outcome for anybody except for you.
And if they're only valuing the prize or the recognition, then actually they don't necessarily see value in the ordinary.
Or even in the people that they may be surrounding themselves to get to the places they want to get to, you know.
Then they all just become useful items, not as people.
Yeah. And there's just this kind of messy, what's left behind is quite messy while the person, you know, sails off into the sunset feeling they've done a great job. So, yeah, being outcome-focused allows you to be more pioneering. So outcome-focused is about other people. It's not about ourselves, although we are included in that. But, you know, what can I do that's going to make this situation better?
Actually, I'll tell you something random I saw on the way here. There's a it's just an ACC sticker they've stuck on the footpath outside here. And it said something along the lines of, if you get hurt today, who gets harmed? Well, that's a really good way of thinking about it. So it's like, if I don't know whether they're expecting people to come down and have a street brawl down here in Raglan today or what the story is. But, like, if you think of that scenario, like, I did see it. There was a fight down at the down by the camping ground the other day when we walked past. And, you know, for the people who are involved in that, you kind of think, oh, this is me and I'm feeling angry and I'm going to retaliate. But actually, if you think, okay, if I got hurt today, you know, it might affect my employer, it might affect my family, it might affect, you know, actually thinking, you know, if I go home and I've got a broken leg or something, you know, I can't drive for the next while, I'm going to have to be run around. If my family can't do it, then maybe I'm going to have to get a taxi. That will cost more. I might not be able to go to work, so my income might be affected. And actually, it's thinking beyond, I'm going to be hurting, because, yeah, that's true, but actually it's going to impact all these other people who are going to be put out potentially because we just got ourselves in the situation.
Yeah, well, they seem to be pumping adverts around that at the moment too. One picture I can give you is of a kid wanting to dive into a swimming hole, and there's a low level rock, and then there's a cliff. And he's looking at the cliff going, yeah, I want to jump off the cliff into the water hole.
But not realising.
And then the ad's kind of going, you know, think again. Who gets hurt?
Yeah.
Who's going to hurt if you get hurt? You know, who's going to be responsible for your hurt? You know,
there's a whole campaign. I was just like,
yeah, there's a whole
really
campaign around, which I think is great because it's changing our mindset and how we think about, you know, what I want. You know, you might want to jump off that big tall cliff, and it is going to look awesome in front of your friends in that moment, but you know, you end up with a you know, smashed arm, leg, head, you know, whatever. Who's going to have to pick up the pieces because of our one choice of our me moment?
Yeah. So in this, I talked just before that little quote, I put, you might look at those around you using a different strategy and judge their processes better or worse than yours. So you think back to that game, like you're saying you'd copy the guy who had the experience and go for the getting the high cards, trashing the old ones, and that would be your strategy. So you might look at me then, who's doing slow and steady wins the race, and going, your strategy's
sucks.
What are you doing?
But that, so then I went on to say that's competitive and doesn't necessarily benefit anyone outside of a game or a business setting. So you think actually the reality is we're in life, and yeah, there are moments where competitiveness is important. So, you know, sometimes if there are two businesses, you will be in competition with each other and you've got to do business really smart. But outside of that context, outside of a game where you're, you know, you're having fun and you are actually trying to
Win.
Get somewhere.
You do want to win in a game.
You do want to win. Okay, fine. Yeah, it's all right, I think I've tried to knock all the competitiveness out of me because I have a husband and three sons, and so they're all very competitive. So I'm like, just try and hold myself back a little bit here. But, yeah, if you can take the competition and have fun when you're in a game and do it at work and do it well, but in everyday life, competition is not necessarily helpful.
No. I mean, we all know the competitive one. It is very much about them moving ahead and not all of us moving ahead. And you know, we talked about strategy, and we've talked about priorities and intentionality. And all of those things are talking about responsibility within ourselves to make change and take be responsible for that change. I guess the question would be today, do you want to do that? It's certainly a question I've asked myself many times in my life. You know, I can keep doing the same things I've always done, but I wonder what it would be like to have new ground, to do something different, to not react like that, to not, especially in heated moments. I think that's my biggest learning curve, because I'm a person who's used to looking after myself, so I'll come out fighting, you know. I tend to fight to win.
Do you?
That's what people do when they look after themselves, all right? They're not going to let you walk all over them. It is innate in us to drive forward, because, you know, that's what life has been like, in looking after yourself. But when you realise you're not actually doing life on your own anymore, and you do have people who care about you, you don't have to work at that level anymore. And so the adjustment within oneself of going, okay, I don't have to drive this, or I don't have to make the point here. I've got people around me who can do that for me. I don't have to carry all the load in this, you know.
So take that ACC statement and apply it to, you know, say a scenario where you're getting angry or upset. You know, you might have taken offence, and it might come out as a burst of anger, but then what is the impact of your burst of anger on the people who are in your household? Or what's the impact of that burst of anger in your workplace? So that's, yeah, coming back to actually sometimes it's thinking about those things that give us the motivation to actually think, oh, actually it's not, you know, I don't feel good when I'm walking around offended, when I'm hurt, but actually no one else feels like they can come and talk to me.
Yeah, that's so true.
Yeah.
Because there's a barrier now. We're letting off this energy. I'm like, arr, arr. The kids will pick up on it. They'll stay away from you.
Or they won't. Or they'll come
or they'll make it worse. Yes, yeah, they'll niggle away. Like, rah, rah. So, yeah, it's and look, anger is typically the first thing that we go to when we're upset. But as a counsellor, I want to remind people that actually our first reaction is we're hurting. Our second reaction is anger. Now, it might feel like we go straight to anger. It's because you don't want to recognise the hurting, you know, because that's what we don't like as humans. We don't like to feel hurt. We don't like to feel sad. We don't like to feel tearful. And so our next response is to get quite indignant or to be angry towards that person. So my way of looking at that, when a person is angry in front of me, I know they're hurting.
Right.
I know, basically, you know, they're hurting over something. To be that stark, you know, to say, you know, what's caused you so much pain right now that you're reacting like that to me? You know, to try and defuse a situation takes some thinking process. You've got to have practice in what you might say in those moments or not say, you know, and leaving something, you know, when somebody's really angry in front of you and doing nothing, and not out of spite, not doing it in a you know, to make them even more angry because you're ignoring them, but simply not replying or fueling that energy that's coming towards you. Mm. You know, that's a learning curve. That's not easy, and especially when you learn to look after yourself. Every instinct in you wants to come out and kill.
Come out and fight. Like, whoa, okay, let's go there.
Move my chair a little bit further away right
long
now.
Time ago, no. Long time ago. No, I'm into life these days. Woo! Yay, and I'm into learning and developing, and I think it is the most exciting ground we can explore is what is the new ground. I often say that to people. What is your new ground? Where is the place? What's something that you want to experience that you haven't experienced before? And I mean in developing your attitude.
Mm.
What do you want to change?
Mm.
Because your one little change can, like you say, affect so many people.
Yeah.
Affect the family and the children, and everyone gets to breathe a sigh of relief. So we're going to head in before you go, 660.
Run before you walk, sing before you talk, look until you see, fly before you leave. Thought I was holding up the world, but I wasn't even standing. Looked down and I was empty-handed. It was until I felt the crashing all around me that I knew I was drowning. Run before you walk, sing before you talk,
660. Such a great band, indeed. Kiwiana, right there. So we've had Jackson Umberto in the studio with us today doing their Marriage Matters segment. Some real great snippets in there. I can guarantee these guys are going to give us some real wisdom throughout the year. So if you want to know some stories and some get some ways of helping your marriage, or even if you're just getting into a relationship, all these kind of bits of advice are going to be helpful, I'm sure. Intentionality, priority, being healthier and more focused in your marriage and partnerships, I think is a good thing that we can be doing for each other. And we've had me and Denise in here unpacking her blog, so encourage you to click into that now back on Facebook. She's going to have some interesting ones every week that I'm sure will be great.
Hopefully they're interesting.
are you still here, Denise?
Are you still here?
I'll talk you up here. Oh, there we are. So we have been unpacking her first one of the year, which is about a game that she played with her family, and just talking about competition and how we might do that, and new ground, how we might want to drop off some old ways of doing things and pick up new ways of doing things. Hey, Denise?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, okay, so we might, we actually come to the end of her blog, and I was just going to read this last bit here. If you are working toward becoming unoffendable, which we all are, Denise, mm-hmm. Well, hopefully you are, and if you're not, you should be, and you shouldn't say should, because that's very authoritarian, parental. So it would be healthy for you to be working towards becoming unoffendable. Whatever your strategy, and whether you are a newbie or an old hand, then yay, well done for you. And yes, we do need to champion each other, but I think we've got to be our own champion too, Denise, because like I said before, often people don't even know when we are making these adjustments in ourselves. So we don't have a cheering team out there going, yeah, you did amazing, awesome, you know, and feel really good about ourselves, because often that doesn't happen. We can only congratulate ourselves and, you know, probably check in, is this making my life more peaceful? Am I having less stress, less anxiety? Are these things helping me to become a more peaceful person, becoming more unoffendable?
Yeah, and if you're someone who does want to work on that, and you kind of like what we talk about, well, on my website you can just click subscribe, and I don't spam anyone, I just send out one email most weeks, not even every week, just with the blog on it, so that if you're thinking, oh, I forgot to look it up, like, it can just then turn up in your inbox. So that's available there too. So denise.nz if anyone is keen.
That was very quiet, Denise. A bit louder. What was that?
Oh, Denise. Man, I was never into sales and marketing, I'll tell you that. No, I actually have nothing for sale. It's just a blog that I'm creating because I actually hope that people benefit from it. Because I know in my world, I used to be very easily offended, and I've really enjoyed the changes that have come from the change of the way that I approach people. So, yeah, it's just there if people want it. Denise.nz.
Oh, I can hear the peace and calm in you, Denise. Yeah, it just lets you know right there you should be doing this stuff. So thanks for joining us today. We've covered some marriage stuff. We've covered some information around priority and relationship, intentionality, and just learning to maybe not be so competitive, but maybe have a look at some new ground on how you might want to do something that brings you more peace and joy in your life, rather than stress and anxiety and all the things that many of us are walking around with. So, well, what are you going to do for the rest of the day, Denise? Don't have to tell us at all.
I'm quite excited. I'm going out to Festival One for the weekend.
Oh, yes, of course.
But last
when I did my first, there was one time we, one of these shows, you were actually away, and I did it by myself, and it was the last Friday in May, and I realised it was New Zealand Music Month, and so I actually went to my Festival One app from last year and went through the different artists and found some Kiwi music that I thought would fit the show, and so that's what I did. But I remember that. Today, I just had a quick look at the schedule, and it's like, oh, so I actually recognise some of them now because we have them on our playlist. So I'm just like, oh, I get to go and listen to some of the Kiwi bands. It's like, yeah, I'm quite excited about it, actually.
Oh, that's awesome. That's going to be great. It'll be hot, too. It's going to be a good weekend, weather-wise.
Yeah, it's meant to be wet, but, you know.
Yeah, but it's
going to be hopeful that it will be a light amount of wet and not a heavy amount of wet.
Yeah, so it's going to be a good one. That's Festival One. Where's that been held?
It's out at a farm now called Hartley's. It's in behind, you know, at Karapiro, there's that mobile station just before the big long straight. What's in, basically in behind that mobile station.
Wow, it's a Christian.
Off the main road. Yeah, it's a Christian festival. It used to be, it grew out of when Parachute stopped.
Of course, yes.
They just changed it up a little bit. They kept it at 5,000 people max, so it's not massive, and they just gave space in there. Like, they stopped at meal times, for example. They stopped the music just so people can actually have time to talk and build community, so it's not rah, 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 full hardcore. It's quite a lot more laid back than it used to be. But, yeah, we're going to be going and enjoying our weekend out there.
Awesome. Have a great one, Denise. Are you and Leonard going?
Yeah,
good
and
on
And the
you.
Kids are on crew. Well, Leonard's on crew as well. So,
That's going to be so much fun. Have a good one. And, yeah, we'll be back next Friday. We won't be having Pastor's Corner next week. We've got Annette on with us. She's going to be reading us an amazing little story, which we're going to unpack. I'm really excited about this. It's going to be a good one. And if you are wanting to know more about Christianity, you can join us on Sunday, Raglan Area School, 10 a.m. Great worship, great word. And what does that mean, a great word? Well, that means that somebody has been studying God's word, and they're going to give us what they've learnt around it, and maybe some tidbits, just like we do on the show, give out bits of information that might help you in your walk in life. And that's what we do on a Sunday. We don't just go just to listen and take nothing from it. We want to get something from it and take it into our week and maybe look at that new ground that needs to happen in our life. So be kind and gentle to self over the weekend and always, actually. I think that's about me, Denise. Anything you want to say?
Awesome. I would like to know what you're doing for the weekend.
What am I doing for the weekend? Oh, no, now you've put me on the spot.
Yes, I have. How many times do you put me on the spot, young lady?
I know. But it's cool. I like doing that. What am I going to do for the weekend? Okay, so I'm going to go for a swim.
Ooh.
Probably many swims.
Lovely.
Probably mostly swimming, Denise. Other than that, I'm probably going to do some preparing for Sunday. And other than that, I'm probably be in the garden, sitting in it. My husband will be working in it. I don't work in it. I just sit in it and swim. There we go. That's
fantastic.
Me. Very relaxing. I hope it's going to be relaxing for everyone else out there. Kia kaha. All is well. I'm going to head out with Grace Got You by Mercy Me.
Have you ever met those who keep humming when the song's through? It's like they're living life to a whole different tune. And have you ever met those that keep hoping when it's hopeless? It's like they figured out what the rest haven't yet. The second you realize what you have inside, it's only just a matter of like you just gotta.
So when you're standing in the rain again, you might as well be dancing. Why? 'Cause the rain or storm, I can change how this is. So next time when you feel blue, don't let that smile leave you. Why? 'Cause you have every reason just to sing. So the back row is your glide. 'Cause walking just won't do dance. You don't have to know how to. Ever since Greece got you left, till your whole side's hurt and smile, like you just got away with something. Why? 'Cause you just got away with something. Ever since Greece got you. Ever since Greece got you. Greece got you.
Got away with something, bubbling inside of you. Spilling over 'cause your life is full. How incredible, undeniable, monumental like the Eiffel. Uncontrollable, let the joy flow through. Ha ha. Giddy over pity, pretty please. Let me see your hands in the air with you at your seats. Warm it up, let go, shout it out, celebrate. When you can't articulate, just say amazing grace.
The second you realize what you have inside, it's only just a matter of